In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
This Easter season, we've been walking through the Latin names for each of the Sundays that follow the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, up until now, all of these days have had something in common with one another. They all have been taken from the first word or first words of the translation of the intro, that bit of psalm verses that we speak responsively near the beginning of the service. But today, Rogate Sunday, takes its name from a completely different place altogether. Instead, it takes its name from the words of Jesus himself in our gospel reading for today. Rogate means asked, as in Jesus' admonition from the gospel, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Rogate Sunday, thus, is the day that the church learns from her Lord what it is to pray. The church, since the middle of the 5th century, has dubbed the days that follow this Sunday as Rogation Days, which are marked as special days of prayer in the life of the church, but especially centering around the planting of crops. The faithful would go out from the divine service into the fields, and they would chant litanies, that long back and forth prayer that we used during the season of Lent. Prayers would be offered for the growth of the fields so that whatever was planted there would produce, as the Gospels say they will, so that there's food for the eater and seed for the planter. Indeed, we will say special prayers in this regard today in a little bit. But what else does the Scripture teach us about prayer? Well, the first thing that we ought to recognize is that prayer is the duty of every single Christian. In the second commandment, God says this: "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord." What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble. Pray, praise, and give thanks. With this commandment, God gives us his name to use specifically in prayer. Now, we know from the commandments that God's wrath is kindled by the worship of false gods, murder, adultery, theft, the other things that we're familiar with from both tables of the law. But since God commands us to use his name and puts it with all of the other commandments, we quickly come to the conclusion that prayer is strictly and solemnly commanded by our God. Let no one think that it makes no difference whether we pray or not. As people often say in their own delusion, "Why should I pray? Who knows whether God heeds my prayer or cares to hear it? If I do not pray, someone else will do it." Thus, they fall into the habit of only praying occasionally when a severe need arises, or worse, never praying at all. To pray, as the second commandment teaches, is to call upon God in every trouble, in every need, in every prayer and thanksgiving. This is exactly what God requires of us. He has not left it up to our choice. And if we want to be called Christians, we ought to regard prayer as a most sacred duty and obligation, just as we who are children must also obey our fathers and those who are in authority over us. It would not make sense for a son to say to his father, "What is the use of being obedient? Why should I do what you say? I'll do what I want. What difference does it make?" Let me tell you, if any of my kids were to say that, they wouldn't repeat it again. And I'm guessing the same is true in many of your households as well. But here stands the commandment for us. You shall and you must obey. Just so, it is not left up to my choice or up to your individual choices whether we are to pray or not, but it is my duty and it is my obligation on pain of God's wrath and displeasure. This we should note above all, so that we may silence and repel any devilish thoughts that would prevent or deter us from calling upon God's name in prayer. Now, it might be tempting to leave praying to your pastor. After all, he gets paid to do it, right? He's been trained at the seminary to pray. Now, it is good and right for you to ask me to pray for you. In fact, not only do I keep you in all of my prayers, but I delight in doing so. But the fact of the matter is this. My prayers are not any holier or more God-pleasing than yours, even if I'm able to do it more eloquently. This is one of the reasons why we don't go along with the unbiblical practice of praying to the saints. Not only are we commanded to pray, not to pray to them, but neither are their prayers considered better or holier than ours. We must be reminded constantly that God has commanded every single one of us to pray individually, that this is our duty as Christians. And he threatens us with death and hell if we misuse his name by refusing to pray. But the second thing to remember about prayer is not that God has commanded it and backed it up with such serious threats, but that God has promised to hear your prayer. And not only that, but also to answer them. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full." In his epistle reading for today, St. James says, "You do not have because you do not ask." In the same letter, he says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." In Psalm 50, perhaps one of my favorite promises from the scripture, God says to us directly, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." In Luke, our Lord Jesus Christ says something very similar. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened." Think of all of the examples in Scripture of answered prayer. In our Old Testament reading for today, God turned away his wrath from the Israelites because of the prayer of Moses. Solomon, later on in the Old Testament, asked God for wisdom to rule his people. And we now recognize from the scriptures that Solomon was perhaps the wisest king to ever rule on the face of the earth. I remember when we were waiting to have children in the early days of our marriage, it seemed like prayer was a struggle, that I asked God constantly to give us the gift of children, and it seemed like for a while he was deaf to those prayers. But then lo and behold, God gave us not one, but three gifts in Naomi, Colin, and Theodore. But not only has God promised to hear my prayers, but so also has he promised to hear your prayers. What prayers of yours has God answered? This is what it means to ask God for things from the heart. You know the desires of your heart, and God wants to hear them. How many of you ask your children questions after school or after work or whatever it might be just to get them to talk to you? When I was a kid, my mom would always ask me a rather long litany of questions about my day. Much to my shame, I usually would cut her off after 3 questions. I've since apologized for that. She still gives me a hard time to this day about it. But the fact of the matter is this, that my mom wanted to know the little details of my life that I thought were rather unimportant. She didn't really think that my day was any more exciting than hers, but she just wanted me to talk to her, to speak with her. Why? Well, it was because to this day, she loved me, even as she does now. Likewise, God does not limit the number of times or the kinds of things that you can ask of him, unless, of course, you're asking for something sinful. But just like your parents know that if something is not good for you, they probably shouldn't give it to you. They're not going to let you eat candy every day for every meal. In the same way, God is not going to give you something that is harmful to your salvation. But ask away, for God has promised to hear you. And now, because God has commanded you to pray and promises to hear and answer you, this should be enough to get us to call upon his name in prayer. But that isn't all. The promises of Jesus are super abundant. Hear again his words from the Gospels. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. So not only has God commanded you to pray and promised to hear your prayers, but according to Jesus, the reason he does it is because of his great love for you, because of the Father's love for you. For do you not know that Jesus' Father is also your Father? St. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. When Jesus was raised from the dead that first Easter morning some 2,000 years ago, he says to Mary Magdalene, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. This is a rather massive change in the status for the disciples brought on by Christ's death and resurrection. By being participants in the events of Jesus' death and resurrection, the disciples had been born anew. And likewise, in the same way, when you were baptized into Christ, you too were also made partakers in Jesus' death and resurrection. At the waters of the font, God calls you his beloved children. And so, because he loves you, your God has even given you the words for prayer. St. Paul tells us that God knows everything that we need even before we ask of him, and that even God himself, through the Holy Spirit, prays for us, even when we do not have the words on our own. I believe this to be a reference to the prayer our Lord has given us himself, the Lord's Prayer. We know that he will hear this prayer, and that he is indeed pleased with it, because he himself has taught us to pray in this way. Indeed, the Lord's Prayer contains absolutely everything that we might need or want in prayer. So we can let the world mock us for praying this little prayer from memory, for we pray it boldly and in the confidence that Jesus himself would have us pray this way. For whenever a good Christian says, Dear Father, thy will be done, God replies from on high, Yes, dear child, It shall indeed be done in spite of the devil and all of the world. The reason we may be so bold and confident in our prayers to our Heavenly Father is because of the words of Jesus towards the end of our gospel reading for today, where he says this: I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. By leaving the world and going to the Father by way of the cross, Jesus has secured for us the blessings of his Father for us in the shedding of his blood. This is why the scriptures speak of Jesus as our great high priest. At the cross, he entered into the heavenly temple to speak and win for us the blessings of our heavenly Father, to offer the blood of the perfect sacrifice, his own blood, that the Father would not look at our sins or deny our prayers because of them, but instead, through this eternal sacrifice, he offers us grace and access to our Father in heaven. And so let this be enough to urge us to prayer. First, that God himself requires us to pray, lest we fall under his wrath and displeasure. For God will certainly not let his name be misused among us. If we do not use it rightly, he will surely take it from us. But second, and perhaps even more importantly, God has promised not only to hear us, but also to answer our prayers. Not only do we have ample evidence of the scriptures, but also in our daily lives. I spent much time this morning praying that God would give me the strength just to make it through this sermon, and we're almost there. So he has heard my prayer, and he has answered it. We know that God will only give us those things that are not harmful to us and to our salvation, and these things he gives out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in us. This is the true love that our Heavenly Father showers upon us, that because Christ has reconciled us to his Father in his all-availing sacrifice for us upon the cross, we know for certain that God does indeed love us. This means that our baptism into Christ, as the scriptures tell us, makes God our Father, that we may address him thusly in prayer. And so let us approach our God daily and in much prayer, knowing that he has invited us to call upon him as dear children call upon their dear father, both because he has commanded us to pray in this way and because he has promised to hear us. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.